Bible to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Are you there? Exodus chapter 4. And we're going to start reading verse 19. Verse 19 to 26. Exodus chapter 4, verse 19 to 26. And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead." So Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I have put in your power. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn. And I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn son.'" And verse 24, At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her poor son's foreskin and touches Moses' feet with it and said, "Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me." So he let him alone. It was then that she said, "A bridegroom of blood," because of the circumcision. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we come to you, Lord, and we, as we study this scripture that you have said before us this morning, Father, we pray that you send your Holy Spirit to help us understand this very complex scripture, Lord God. Father, we thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You know, we have been in the ministry with Sister Rose. Our pastoral ministry is about 20 years. Then before that, we are in a Bible study series. I think we were 2 years, 3 years. But there's one thing I observed, that the women are used by God as a vehicle of ministry. Women? See, amen? I've seen it again. I observe or I notice that most women, brother Ken, let me do this, are used by God in the ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Most women. Who prompted Jesus to perform his first miracle?
Mary.
Right? Who ministered to Christ during his public ministry? It's the women. Who anointed Jesus' feet?
A woman.
One prostitute, another is Mary, sister of Martha. Who stayed with Jesus throughout his trials and crucifixion? Women, right? Who were the first witnesses to the resurrected Savior? Woman, right? Who makes up the majority of the population of most churches today?
Women.
The women think, okay, who makes up the majority of the population of the most Christian church today?
Women.
Women.
What's the men?
One person has observed that women are more naturally religious than men. They tend to understand the need of God more readily. And they are often touched by the emotional appeal of Jesus easier than men are. Because of their potential for faith, women often serve as the backbone of many churches and many ministries. I should let Sister Rosa deliver this message. And they have the potential to develop their husband and sons into great leaders. See that? Men may be called to a position of leadership in the church, but without godly women besides them, Brother Greg, they're not going to get much done. So this morning we're being introduced to a woman named Zipporah. I don't know if you know Zipporah. If you go to Macy's, you can see that Zipporah. And from Adrib out of scripture, I believe Zipporah deeply loved her husband. Don't you think? And deeply loved her children. Right? So she had been married to Moses for about 40 years. And she's born with two sons. Two sons. Gershom and anybody can remember? Eliezer. In fact, Exodus 2:22 tells us that long after their marriage, Zipporah gave birth to a son. That means there's a big gap between Gershom and Eliezer. Right? And Gershom means alien, saying, I have become an alien in a foreign land. But now, their second son, Eliezer, seems to be a different story. He seems to have been born around the time when God met Moses on the mountain. Because his name doesn't reflect Moses' isolation and exile, but rather his newfound encouragement in God. Eliezer means what? God is my helper. So, Zipporah and Moses have been herded her father's sheep for about 40 years, and they had a fairly peaceful and eventful existence all that time. But then Moses comes home and tells her that he just talked to God. This is not offering, which he talked to God, but this is Moses talking to God in a burning bush. But God has told him that he is to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh. Remember the escapade of Moses going down to Egypt to free the children of Israel, right? Now Zipporah believes in God. Her father, Jethro, remember? He's a priest of God in Midian. It's the same God that just talked to Moses. So, the father of Zipporah is a priest. And that's the same God that talked to him is the same God that talked to Moses. And I'm suspecting that she pleased as a pants that her husband has received a promotion. So she thinks because God talked to her husband, Moses, so she's thinking that maybe God have a promotion for him. So, I think she's excited. And I can see her pack up their belongings to get the boys ready to travel and get the family on the road. But they don't get too far in the road when this event that we read in Exodus chapter 4 takes place. And this is perhaps one of the most confusing story on all the scripture. So, when you go home tonight, this afternoon, and you will see, you know what? I'm confused. So, that's that. I already warned you. Okay? You can be confused, but let's allow the Holy Spirit to change some gray area in here. Okay? Alright? Amen? So let's review the story that is found in the scripture. God sent Moses down to Egypt to free Israel, right? Right? He is on his way with his wife and kids when God tries to kill him. Isn't that confusing? God called this guy into a ministry, and now God is going to kill him. Right? That's what the scripture says. Is that right? Amen? Did you read that in your scripture? Huh? It says, now I can find that. It says in verse 25, then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched his closest feet. And it said, surely you are right or not. That's 24. Huh? 24. And at the lodging place on the way to the Lord, made him and sought to put him to death. See? That's in the scripture, right? So, he is on his way with his wife and kids when God tries to kill him. And then Zipporah, the scripture says, pulls out a knife and circumcises her boy. Isn't that confusing? Yes? See, then she put the foreskin of Moses on Moses' feet and declares, you are a bridegroom of a blood for me. At which point, God leaves Moses alone. And that's it. The Bible didn't say anything. The Bible doesn't tell anything else. So there is no explanation, no other insights, and that's it. Now, does that make any sense? No, huh? It doesn't make any sense. Shekinah? Okay, let's continue. You see, circumcision was the mark of the covenant God had with Israel. It started all the way back in Abraham, in Genesis chapter 17, verses 10 to 12. And God says to Abraham, this is my covenant with you. This is this, because that will give us a clear explanation to what the confusing word in there. So this is my covenant, God says to Abraham. This is my covenant with you and your descendant, that's the children of Israel, after the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. Okay? You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from the foreigner, those who are not your offspring. So God had commanded that every Israelite had to circumcise their boys. Right? That's the commandment of God. Yes? Amen? But obviously, one of Zipporah's boys was not circumcised. More likely, it's Eliezer, the later one. Right? Now, why he has not been circumcised? Well, I can guess and now understand. I'm speculating here, but from what I know of people, this scenario makes sense. I believe Gershom had already been circumcised when he was born. He is just the older one. So probably when they were there, in their father's place where they tend the sheep, because he was the firstborn, he was circumcised. But now they are in the journey. They're not there anymore. They're in the journey going to Egypt. And this is what happened. God tried to kill him so that there is a blood that will represent, it's about a blood, and that when Zipporah saw it, she himself has that, because she experienced, because probably she experienced the circumcision of Gershom, which is the older son. So she has been raised in a different culture than the one God established in Israel. And I can imagine that when Zipporah saw Gershom's circumcision, she was shocked and disgusted. Too much blood and screaming from her son, from her boy. So I can visualize her saying, Moses, I love you, but you're not going to do this to any of our other children. Because he experienced the circumcision of Gershom. And it's bloody. So thus, later when Eliezer was born, Zipporah put her foot down and he said, no blade, nor flint, nor wound will perform ceremony on this child. So he's saying, you know what? There should be no ceremony on Eliezer because I experienced it. I saw how my son screaming for pain. And now, you know what? You're not going to do this to Eliezer. Right? So now they're in conflict with Moses, with God's law. Right? Because it's the law of the land. And now, Zipporah doesn't want to do it. Right? Amen? So now they are in conflict with God and Moses. And Zipporah. So Zipporah said, you know what? I don't care what God said. This is not going to happen. And why is it that it's not going to happen? Well, she doesn't like it. It offends her. This was not how she was raised. This was not how she was taught. Her theology will not allow for it. And so she tells God to take a hike, not a healthy thing to do. So I said before, women have a great potential for faith. And because of that potential of faith, they often serve as the backbone of many churches or many ministries. And they had the potential to develop their sons and their husband into a great leader. And men may be called to position of leadership in the church, but without godly women, they could not much done. So that's what Zipporah here. Zipporah has become an obstacle to Moses' ministry. She found herself in a position to God. And now Zipporah has been raised in a godly home. Her father Jethro is a priest of the Most High God. And she is married with Moses, a man has personally commissioned to minister by God. But she is now opposing God. She will not allow Moses to obey God with respect to their children. So God has one agenda, and Zipporah has another one. And because she had a different agenda, she created an obstacle to Moses' ministry. She is determined that she's going to have things their way. Amen? I once read a story about a family gathering where women were being teased by their husband about how the oldest sins get their way. Of course, the women were not going to take that laying down. One woman said to her husband, "Honey, when I get my way, that's a compromise. What is it when I get my way?" The husband asked. She smiled and she replied, "That's a miracle." It's a miracle when men get their own way. It's natural, it's healthy marriage for a husband to listen to his wife. And the wife says, Amen? Mm-hmm. It's natural and it's healthy marriage for a husband to listen to his wife. See, in Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that husband should be the head of the house. Right? That it makes it But the leaders, but this leadership in the home includes treating his wife with respect. And listening to her opinion is a vital part of showing the proper respect. A godly man wants his wife's input, her insight, her agreement for what it needs to be decided. However, there are times when a husband is trying to follow God's will and that he finds his wife doesn't like the direction he's going. Right? No. Remember the story of Rebecca and Isaac? It's an excellent story. Isaac wanted to bless Esau, remember? But that did not appeal to Rebecca, so she conspired with Jacob to deceive Isaac and steal the blessing. Remember that couple noodles? While that ultimately fulfilled God's plan for Jacob, her plan of action got her son a wadi taken out in the bundle or in the town. Esau sought to kill Jacob, and Rebekah never saw her son again. And her deception created a problem for her son that lasted 4 years. And Jacob was to be had to hide from Esau. Proverbs tells us there's a way that seems right into a man, but the end thereof is death. That's true, both husband and wife. And that's why wives are advised in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's that the same wives are to be a women worthy of respect, not maliciously talkers, but temperate and trustworthy on everything. So in other words, these women should be example to the rest of the congregation. These should not be bossy troublemakers. Right? Amen? So, wives, you have to remember the story. There's a story again of Abraham being asked to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah. But how many of you wives could do that? When Sarah did Abraham, when he told her God wanted him to sacrifice their own son. I don't think there is any mother here today that could agree with Sarah. But Sarah, there is no record that she even argued or fight with her. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, there are women should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of Gentile, of a quiet, gentle, and quiet spirit, which is a great work in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, to put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful, and they were submissive to their own husband, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters, if you do what is right unto you. And do not give way to fear. See, you are God's daughter if you don't allow fear to come into you. So now in our feminist-oriented society that is not smiled on, there are women in this world that are basically tell God, I don't care. I don't care what you said. That's not going to happen. And they are welcome to do that. Women don't have to obey if they don't want to, because they have a different command. But there is a price to be paid. But when we ignore God's guidance, there is a price to be paid. A disobedient heart can hurt your children, your husband, and your entire family. Because God doesn't lay down His command just to be mean. He doesn't sit up there in the heaven thinking, gee, I think I'll say something today to make somebody mad. No. He asks the thing he does for us because he knows what works. He created Mary. He created us. He knows what is best for all of us. Amen? And he is not asking women thrown over and playing dead. He is asking you to have a gentle, submissive heart. To lead your man, lead you. And then to trust him for the outcome. Even when men make bad decisions, right? And men, it's important to be gentle with your men and allow God to do his thing in your life. And remember, the Bible says that judgment is mine. So the last thing I want to see out in this passage is this. One of Zipporah's problems here was that when she faced with God's requirement for belonging to his covenant, she refused to do it God's way. She refused to sign God's contract in God's way. So in Genesis chapter 17, we are told that circumcision was the sign of the old covenant. Those who were not circumcised under that covenant were to be cut off from the fellowship. So in refusing to have her child circumcised, Zipporah was basically telling God, I know this is what Moses has said you wanted, but it doesn't appeal to my religious background. I'm not going to do your own way. I want to do mine. So he refused to do God's way. But God doesn't take rejection of his commands lightly. If circumcision was required as part of the Old Testament covenant, then circumcision was what you have been better doing. But now in the New Testament, that changed. In the book of Acts, we're told that God no longer had the intention of using circumcision as the sign of the covenant for Christians. In fact, he replaced it with an entirely new sign. Do you know what that was? In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 to 12. Colossians chapter 2, Eric, can you put that in the screen?
Yes.
Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 12, 9 to 12. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 12. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in a bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him, baptism raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. So in other words, according to Paul in Colossians, the mark of a new covenant was to be baptism. It was to replace physical circumcision because it's better symbolized what God wanted his people to remember. Is the water baptism. He wanted us to remember that when we became Christians, we died, we were buried, and we rose again from a watery grave, resurrected to live a new life. That's the circumcision of Christian. It is different than the circumcision of the children of Israel. And that's why Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 5 tells us, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be buried with him in his resurrection. So there's death, there's a burial, and there's a resurrection with Christ. There are all kinds of religious traditions that don't include baptism. Some try to use baptism without faith or repentance as an infant baptism. Others, they try to replace baptism with a man-made creation like the sinner's prayer and asking Jesus into their heart. But the wise wife and mother and father and grandparents, uncle, realize that if you want God's blessing, you do the things that way. Amen? That reminds me of a story of Dave Thomas. Do you know who is Dave Thomas? He's the founder of Wendy's Restaurant. Was a faithful advocate of a family values and faith. He once wrote in his book, Well Done, and in it, he made this comment. When I was 11 years old, my adopted grandmother took me to Michigan Long Lake to be baptized by immersion. I really felt that I was accepted by God when I was baptized. But what I remember most about my baptism was that my grandma, me, in the Wendy's restaurant. My grandma, Minnie, made it happen. For her, Christianity meant more than doctrine you talk about on Sunday. It meant teaching his grandson about faith. So, praise the Lord that we have grandma that teaches us about our faith more than just a doctrine. Because Christianity is more than a relationship, than a religion. Amen? So that's the teaching. The teaching of grandma is faith, about trusting God. Amen? That's in my sermon this morning. Hallelujah. Shall we all stand?